This podcast is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. For more than 20 years, Premier's expert surgeons have helped thousands of East Tennessee patients in the fight against breast cancer.
This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcorton Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline, bdry.com. Swain Event, fueled by Daddy and Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. And we have Hour 2 here. We start Hour 2 every day with Touchdown or Turnover. And that is backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union. Better rates and better service. ATFCU.com is their website. All right, man. Brian Bowen's father, the whole NCAA FBI probe has exposed some folks out here in the AAU streets, the basketball world streets, and text messages between Louisville assistant coach Kenny Johnson and Brian Bowen Sr. introduced in court Tuesday show the two planning to meet up in the August of 2017 to exchange about a $1,300 payment. And Bowen's father is, hey, he's talking, and basically has Louisville caught. His son went to Louisville, got a big money bag. Touchdown Turnover, that Louisville will receive extra NCAA sanctions on top of, I guess, what they have already received, which was I think they need a self-imposed pro-season ban.
Yep.
But do we see the NCAA coming back after this trial and giving them more punishment?
I don't think you will, just for the simple fact that Kenny Johnson himself is no longer on staff. Rick Pitino is no longer there. Chris Mack, former Xavier coach, is now taking over. And from what I have read, he has put together a respectable staff. So I don't think the NCAA will punish them extra, kind of like you're saying. I think it'll just kind of be a baseline to punish the school, whereas normally when they get the extra, it's the NCAA is punishing the school and the coaches. And since the coaches are no longer there, I don't think they'll get the extra. What's interesting to me is Kenny Johnson is now the assistant coach at some small school. I can't remember where exactly he is. I'll look it up real quick. But what does that school do? I mean, you have to let the guy go, don't you?
I mean, I guess you have to, right? If you're getting caught up in this from your days at Louisville and you're coaching somewhere else, how do you keep your current job? I mean, that's a really good question. I guess we'll see how the stuff plays out. But, I mean, this family's used to getting cash. And I wish I played basketball. I wish I was a couple inches taller, because there's so much money floating around, man.
He's at LaSalle. So much. LaSalle is where he is at.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't see how, after this trial, that nothing happens. But, Charlie, I'm going to you, man. Touchdown Turnover. NCAA will come back and put a slap down on Louisville basketball.
This is a tough situation, because everyone who was involved in this stuff is gone. And so I don't know how the NCAA will treat that. I'll say there is definitely a punishment coming for Louisville. I don't know how severe it will be, but you have to. I think you gotta. Because I believe so far they've only had their own self-imposed punishment. That was very stupid. It was, you know, the postseason ban for a team that had Terry Rozier on it, unfortunately, but and other just awesome players. But it's hard to say how the NCAA will view it. They're so inconsistent. They're so inconsistent with their punishment. I I'm not exactly sure which way they will go, but I think a punishment is coming. So I guess in a way, I'll say touchdown. There is something coming down the pike from this, and I think not just for Louisville, for a bunch of different programs, because when it all comes out on the table, I think a lot of people will be implicated in this.
This is unreal, man. Dad said he received money to play for Mean Streets, which was a Nike-sponsored grassroots program out of Chicago. Bowen Sr. testified he was paid $5,000 in cash by Ty Streets, which is the director of Mean Streets, okay, and was given another $1,500 for travel by Tim Anderson, who was the head coach of Mean Street, who is now an assistant coach at DePaul. Dad also admitted to receiving $4,000 from an Adidas executive and agreed to a $20,000 offer from Adidas consultant to play for the Michigan Mustangs, an Adidas-sponsored grassroots program. Oh, my gosh.
And that's where the Louisville connection comes in, I think, with Adidas.
Yes.
That's the craziest thing about all of this, is that so much of it is tied up in companies. And you can't really prosecute necessarily Adidas or Nike here. They definitely broke NCAA rules for sure. But in general, I mean, first of all, the NCAA can't do anything to Nike and Adidas. And then I don't know exactly where all of this is headed, but I really wonder how college basketball will change if this stuff gets weeded out. I feel like it won't. I think it'll be... It's almost too ingrained in everything now, and it'll just go further underground maybe. But I just wonder what college basketball will look like if you take out the influence of AAU or money from shoe companies to AAU players, because it has gotten completely out of control.
Ross Martin, who covers North Carolina basketball for Inside Carolina, had a quote from Roy Williams, head basketball coach, and he says he is not familiar with the whole world of college basketball recruiting, shoe companies, AAU agents. Strong comments here from Carolina coach. It does not go on everywhere, says Roy Williams,
boy,
who came from Kansas to North Carolina, but he is not familiar. Okay. All right, Roy.
I saw a quote yesterday from a compliance officer. I forget which school it was from. But somebody quoted, it was a compliance officer they were cross-examining in this trial. And the compliance officer, you know, the school was accused of having these big payments to a player. And the compliance officer said, I have no knowledge.
Come on, man.
I didn't know that this was... Really? You didn't know this was going on?
I did not have cash relations with that recruit.
It is, man, literally your job. And you didn't know that this was going on. Come on now.
There's only one coach in America that I believe has nothing to do with this, and that is the one and only Rick Barnes.
The right reverend, God-fearing, great man.
That's right.
At least.
That's right.
Not in recent years. Let's not talk about when he was picking up TJ Ford and Kevin Durant and concentrate on present day.
Yes.
Kevin Durant,
he's not doing
just
it
now. To live in Texas, man.
Exactly.
What kid from D.C. doesn't want to live in Texas, dude? Come
so
on.
True. Austin's a really cool city. I'll put it that way. It's a great place to live.
Look, I'll put it like this. Look, right now, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, those guys are worth some money. Coming out of high school,
ain't none of those dudes got paid.
No, if we're gonna pay some recruits, can we at least get some 5 stars in here?
I will take up for coaches here. Is that stuff can go on as far as money being exchanged and them not really knowing it? That stuff does go on. But for Roy Williams to say what he said, all the years you've been coaching,
that is laughable.
You've been at two major programs. And for you to say this, that is laughable. But it's not crazy to think that a rogue booster or a AAU coach or someone exchange money somewhere and the head coach didn't know about it. That happens. Well, it does happen.
In Roy Williams' case, it's so you're telling me that North Carolina will create fake classes for your basketball players to attend, but you won't give a little cash to a recruit here and there?
You heard Roy Williams, man. You better not question Roy Williams.
They definitely – and this happens in football and basketball across the board at the biggest programs. They fight to have plausible deniability for their head coaches. There is an effort that is made so that – you know, I guess you could say in a way the coaches know what's going on, but they don't know the details. You know, they're kind of like out of sight, out of mind. I don't want to know. Just get this done. That's it. And I think there's a lot of situations like that. You know, it's not the head coach going to give these kids the money, even though it seemed like Rick Pitino almost was in some of these transactions. But there is a lot of that that goes on where the coach is kind of over here, you know, like la 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 with his ears plugged. And while his assistant coach goes and drops off that bag.
Speaking of Rick Pitino, any chance that you listen to his new podcast that he has?
100%. I'm not going to miss that.
He's having a big-time head coach on for his first episode.
Oh, I'd have to go look. I knew that was happening, but I haven't seen the details.
There's zero chance I listen to it. I just can't stand Rick Pitino. His voice.
Oh, my gosh, dude. He
can't stand him. So you're going to be
endless entertainment.
You're going
right
to be
now.
A Pituito.
Oh, I am a Pituito.
Oh, my word.
Let me just say.
God bless.
He's all over the social media, and I can't get enough.
As if he's innocent and they ran a clean program. That's the thing that's funny to me. All right, we got to take a break, and we'll get on the horn with Chris Lowe, ESPN, for our weekly segment with celebrity Chris Lowe of ESPN, Swain Event.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Chipotle Chicken Salad, the Chicken Tender Sandwich, or the Kitchen Sink Burrito filled with brisket, pulled pork, and chicken, not to mention queso, jalapenos, and more. It's called the Kitchen Sink for a reason. Dead End isn't stopping at your plate, though. Be sure to check out their new summer drink offerings, including the Big Orange Crush, My Clementine, or the Tequila Squirt. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The summer flavor search is over.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technician to see how we can get your phone working today. We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells in what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy.
Up goes your car and insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. It's not available in all states.
If you aren't following the Swain event on Twitter, then are you even on Twitter? Hit that follow button. It's the right thing to do.
You get it right now, yeah. 'Cause you're in Hollywood. There's something in the air in Hollywood. The sun is shining like you knew it would.
We have stolen Chris Lowe's iPod here on the Swain event, and we are playing his number one play song right here to introduce Chris Lowe of ESPN. Joins us every Wednesday here. Chris Lowe, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Jason. It's always good to be with you. We have a cloudy Wednesday morning here in Tennessee.
Chris, how many times have you heard this song by Madonna talking about Hollywood? Over or under 100?
Over 100.
Well, hey, at least you be honest, man. We appreciate that.
Over 100.
Well, since you're being honest, what the heck is going on the plains at Auburn? It seems like there's some chemistry that is not ideal for the Auburn Tigers, and looks like Chip Lindsey is having the same issues that Lashley had of being offense coordinator, but not really being offense coordinator. Tennessee is getting Auburn at the right time. What is going on down there?
Yeah, I was going to say. I told somebody last night that Tennessee's going to get one that nobody thought they would get this year. I think this is their best chance for the reasons you just sort of lay out there. The fact that it's 11 o'clock Central Star, it would be a pretty stale environment. I don't know how charged up that crowd would be at that time. And Auburn just hasn't really been able to score. And Tennessee, as you know, I don't think is really equipped to win a lot of scoring shootout-type games. But you know what? Maybe they go in there and win a 24-20 game. You know, a 27-21, 21-20 type game. You know, in talking to people close to that program, there was some concern even before the season that it still wouldn't mesh. And when I say mesh, you know, with Gus being the offensive coordinator and Chip being the offensive coordinator, who was going to really run the show? And I asked Gus in the preseason, you know, Chip's going to call the plays, but you watch them on offense, Jason, and clearly they're not in sync. And clearly there's something it's just not right. And, you know, it's hard sometimes for guys who've been successful play callers who go on to be head coaches, and they're not the ones that are calling the play, to just completely pull back. And maybe they want to still be the guy that does it most of the way. But that's what happens is a lot of times is what you're seeing happen on the planes right now. You know, there are a lot of cooks in that kitchen. Who's really doing it? Who's really, you know, calling the plays? Who's really game planning? And I think that's part of it. I don't think they've really ever fully figured out how to utilize Jarrett Stidham yet. And part of it is he hasn't played as well or as consistently as he's capable of. He's a really talented guy, who can throw it, I promise you that. And maybe a big part of that is he doesn't feel like that he's never really gotten comfortable in their system. And what is Auburn offensive right now? That's the thing. Do they have an identity? You know, Gus has really been good. When they've really been good, his offenses, there's a couple of common denominators. Number one, they're really good, strong, and powerful in the interior offensive line. Okay. Number two, they have that blow-your-nose type of running back, like a Kerryon Johnson. And number three, they typically have a guy, quarterback, who can run the football, who's mobile, who can stretch the field, throw it down the field, but a guy that really puts pressure on you running the football. And Gus told me back in August, he said, listen, my biggest concerns are offensive line. We've got a lot of new guys. Guys are going to have to step up in the offensive line. So that's been a problem. They haven't had that body-to-nose running back. You know, they really missed that Kerryon Johnson. And then Stidham is not a statue, but he's not Nick Marshall either. So all those three things, and the sort of the, whether we want to call them not meshing chemistry problems, has really taken a toll on Auburn. And the thing that's happened now, Jason, is they still are outstanding defensively. They're as talented at the front seven as you're going to find, but they did not play real well last week, certainly as well as they should play or can play against Mississippi State. But they were on the field for almost 42 minutes. When's the last time you've seen a defense been on the field for that long?
It's a long time, man.
And I think it's starting to sort of filter over to the defense all that frustration. So, long story short, Tennessee plays a clean football game, doesn't turn it over. It's a big play, so that defense is still so good. You're not going to just line up and drive it down their throats. But I think this is one, again, of all, like, if you'd have pointed to, you know, the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Auburn, the West Virginias, the teams that you thought Tennessee would really have a hard time beating before the season, this may be their best chance to get one of those.
Must do it without turning the football over. Got to get the ball when you have opportunities to get those turnovers. There's been some talk here on Rocket Top about Jeremy Pruitt being involved a little bit more on offense. I've been to a couple practices there in the fall with fall camp, and I've always saw Coach Pruitt working with the defense, but over the last 2 weeks, we've heard more and more about him being involved on offense. I look at last year with Coach Orgeron bringing in big name Matt Canada and how that didn't work out. You look at Gus Malzahn, and it seems like it's his offense, and offense coordinator really can't call plays. And I'm not there yet on Tennessee and Jordan Pruitt and Tyson Helton, but I'm wondering, can that potentially happen here at Tennessee where the head coach and offense coordinator may not be on the same page? We're just not used to seeing Pruitt work with the offense, and he has the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's part of the whole evolution of being a head coach. And remember, we talked about Jeremy at the start of the season. Where would be his biggest learning curves and being that manager, the entire manager of the program. You know, because in the past, you're right, he's been a defensive coordinator. It's been defense. Well, now all of a sudden, when things aren't going right on offense or you're not getting the production you want, yeah, you got to get more involved. Every head coach would. That doesn't mean you're jumping in there and calling plays.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's, again, part of his growth and his evolution as a head coach and how to do it. You know, there's a right way to go about it and there's a wrong way to go about it. I mean, no offensive coordinator wants to have their head coach looking over their shoulder every single thing they do and basically micromanaging. But Tennessee's offense has not been, you know, talk about not finding an identity. I mean, I don't know what Tennessee is. I mean, they've been vanilla. They've not been able to hit nearly as many big plays as they need to. I have seen them do some different things. For instance, against Georgia in the second half, we saw them open up a little bit more, throw it more on first down, those kind of things. Remember, too, on that staff, you've got two guys that have been coordinators. You got Will Friend, his offensive line coach, who's a co-coordinator. Then you got Helton, you know, who is a coordinator. So sometimes it's a little bit by committee, but bottom line, Tennessee's had a week now to go back and assess and reassess, look at what they're doing well, what they're not doing well, you know, what's working. This, to me, will be a telltale game to see what kind of head coach Jeremy is, right? Where he is in his growth as a head coach and where this team has grown. Because, again, this is a team that they're playing that's talented but vulnerable. And if you want to ever play a team on the road, it's an 11 o'clock game Central Time. So this is I won't say it's a high-hanging curveball, Jason, but it's a pitch that I think Tennessee's got a chance to hit, and we'll see how well they do.
Chris, we were discussing this earlier. If worse came to worse with Gus Malzahn, his buyout is something like $33 million. And you have some buyouts like Jimbo Fisher's is $68 million right now. I mean, basically the schools are locking themselves into coaches and really with almost no way out unless you just want to, you know, blow the doors off your bank account. What are your thoughts on this sort of trend in contracts for coaches?
Well, it's good for coaches.
Yeah.
Not so good. And agents, not so good for schools. But, you know, in Gus's situation, I mean, he was gonna leave last year. He was going to go to Arkansas, and they were going to pay him a ton of money. I think even Coach Fulmer reached out to Gus. In fact, I know he did last year. So schools, you know, have got to it's sort of a darn if you do, darn if you don't. And I know everybody says, well, why would you pay that kind of money for Gus Malzahn? Well, it's also the nature of the SEC, you know, the nature of the sport. We forget that, you know, Auburn ended the season last year by not just beating Alabama, but they beat him up. You know, in fact, that's the only loss. I think I looked this up yesterday. That's the only loss. It was 8 years ago yesterday that Alabama lost to South Carolina in Columbia. Since that loss, Alabama's 62-8 against SEC teams. And I think the only loss in that stretch, those eight losses, it was by more than 6 points, was that loss last year, maybe like 27-14 or 26-14. You know, that was a big win, and then Auburn goes to the SEC championship game with a chance to win that game. So they're one win away from playing in a playoff. Of course, they have to play Georgia again and lose. My point is, that's a program that was right there on the cusp last year and started this year with a big win against the top 10 team, Washington, but haven't played as well now. Everybody's talking about, well, maybe we have to get rid of Gus. Well, you know what? That's just right or wrong or fair or unfair. That's just sort of life in the SEC. Is as a head coach, 1 minute you're in play, a lot of people want you. Schools feel like they need to do whatever they need to do to tie it in and keep you. And then, you know, 6-7 games later, maybe it's the next year, they're talking about what your buyout is. It happened. And I don't know the wisdom of schools, you know, what the wisdom is to do that, but a lot of it, they feel like if they got a guy, they can get them where they want to get, they're going to pay him and structure his contract to a point to where they feel like they can keep him.
Chris Lowe here on the Swain Event. Chris Lowe writes for ESPN, ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter, CLOWESPN. I want to take a look a little bit more around the SEC. You know, Kentucky losing there on the road to Texas A&M. South Carolina kind of coming back from the dead, beating Missouri. You know, Alabama continuing to just demolish folks. In all of your years of college football, and it's best to ask someone like you who is, I use the word seasoned, Chris. You're seasoned.
Not old, right? Not old.
You're seasoned.
You're just trying to be nice and not call me old, but go ahead.
Seasoned is a good word here. Seasoned. Have you seen a team as good as Alabama, and what are some of the best college football teams you've ever seen?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen – Nick's not had a team that I've seen that has been this explosive offensively. Not even close. I mean, they've had some teams, obviously, with Julio Jones on it, and Amari Cooper, Derrick Henry. They had some good football teams. Some teams that could really score, but not one across the board. In fact, he told me when I was with him back in September, he said, we've never had – this many guys on offense that can make plays across the board, running back, receiver, tight end, and, of course, the guy throwing the football, number 13, pretty darn good, too. You know, and you talk about a guy that spreads the ball around the field, and it's accurate. That's the thing about Tua, Tagovailoa, is how accurate he is and how he sees everything. Nick was telling me, he says, he's got great hands, big hands, strong hands, but soft hands. You watch him, he can make the finesse throws, he can fit it tight windows, gets rid of it quickly. No, I'm not seeing an Alabama team this explosive offensively. You know, I saw where Dion Chavis
said last week, it's maybe the best offense he's ever coached against, period, since he's been coaching. You're talking about 30-plus years. Think about some of the offenses that entailed. And John Chavis is a lot better judge on who's good offensively than I am. But that's, you're talking about the Tebow offense that he coached against at Florida. You're talking about that Nebraska offense in 97. Kyle Osborne's last team that averaged about 50 points a game. Come back to the Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M offenses. All the Spurrier fun and gun offenses. It's as good as I've seen offensively. But you know what? It's funny to say this, but they're not as good defensively as they've been under Saban. And he'll tell you that. They're not as deep. They're thin. They are, you know, they lost their corner this week, and that's an area where they can't afford to lose any more players. So if they get more injuries in some of the right spots, it's really going to start to show up. You know, they've given up more plays, and I know I'm maybe nitpicking a little bit, but they've given up more bigger running plays than they've given up on defense. They're still good on defense.
Take that.
But they're not as dominant or as deep, Jason, has been on defense. And, you know, I don't know that they really played a lot of great offenses to this point, to be honest with you. Arkansas put 31 up on them. So, maybe we'll find out down the road. The best team I've seen is that Miami team at 0-1.
Mm.
That Miami team at 0-1 is – if it's not that team, then it's that 95 or 96 Nebraska team with Tommy Frazier. In fact, Coach Saban told me that to this day, the first game he ever coached at Michigan State was against that Nebraska team. And he thinks that's the most complete college football team he's ever coached against or seen. So one of those two would be the best that I've seen. And again, going back to, I guess I go back to the late 70s, early 80s. In the SEC, that 11 Alabama team was awfully good, even though they lost to LSU during the season, but people forget how good LSU was. But it's the Miami team in 01 and the Nebraska team, the Tommy Frazier team that won back-to-back, 95, 96, or 95, I should say. 94, 95, I don't think they won 96. The 95 team is about as good as I've seen.
Chris, I'm not bold enough to pick Vanderbilt to beat Florida, and I don't think it would happen, but it does kind of feel like a letdown spot for Florida after three straight emotional wins. Do you think Dan Mullen has his team in the right frame of mind after changing that culture just over a month to where they don't have to worry about a letdown game this weekend?
You know, I'm glad you asked that question because there's yet another example of how quickly it changes in the SEC. Remember how down everybody was on Mullen after the Kentucky loss? Even the Florida thing. Not recruiting, did he ever beat any ranked teams in the state? And now all of a sudden, they're playing about as well as anybody, and have had two really huge wins. Welcome to the SEC, right? Welcome to SEC football. Welcome to coaching in the SEC. But no, I think this is a dangerous game. I don't think Vanderbilt's good enough to beat them, but Vanderbilt will play hard and they'll play smart and they'll be ready to play. Florida just right now defensively is playing so well. They're forcing so many turnovers. And I think Ty Graff's unit defensively is good enough that Florida's going to be in every game they play the rest of the year. And remember, they get Georgia in Jacksonville. Everybody maybe has – most people have sort of conceded against Georgia. Well, guess what? Now all of a sudden that game against Florida and Jacksonville looks like it's going to be a real test. And Georgia also has to play at Kentucky. So I think the SEC right now, and I think this is a good thing, outside of Bama, Bama's better than everybody, pretty balanced. And what I mean by that is from week to week, you have a hard time sort of figuring out the lead. One week you think, well, this team's pretty good, and they go somewhere and lose, Kentucky goes to A&M. You've got a lot of teams in this league right now that are pretty solid. And on their best day, in their B-plus game, are capable of winning, from LSU to Texas A&M to Kentucky to Florida, right on through South Carolina with a huge win at home against Missouri. Really the kind of game for them that maybe might make the difference in a pretty good season. and just a really average season. So I think you got a lot of teams that are capable, if they play well and play clean football, in the SEC. They're pretty good.
Let me ask you this, since Ben brought up Vanderbilt, Derek Mason, man, is Derek Mason in trouble? That's just weird to say, but it seems like some things are just going on at Vanderbilt with their AD stepping down. Does look like he's getting the support he needs for his athletics. And then Derek Mason maybe is plateauing there. I don't know, but that's why I'm asking you. You're the expert. What's going on there with Vanderbilt and Derek Mason?
I mean, I don't think he should be in trouble. I mean, you said it. I mean, if you're not going to give him the same ingredients to do well and to be good that everybody else in the same league you have to compete in, then why should he be doing it in trouble? It is probably an easy feeling for him, Jason, in that he's going to get a new AD. And most ADs, when they come in, especially the football program is not doing great, that's the first thing they assess. And a lot of ADs want to hire their guy. We've seen that at Tennessee. That's sort of their, you know, their bag. You know, they're not going to hire my guy, a football coach. So I bet it is an uneasy feeling for Derek. I mean, a lot of it depends on how he finishes the season. And do they get better? You know, last year they really were playing. I was at their Kansas State game last year. They beat Kansas State. And then, of course, they got creamed a week later by Alabama. It just never was the same. So, you know, we'll see if they can sort of reverse that and get better as this season goes on. But I can't see them making a change this year. You know, unless there's somebody out there that you think is just a slam dunk. You know, and how many slam dunks are going to come to Vanderbilt? You know what Derek's pick is? You know, is when James Franklin came in here and won 9 games back to back. Steve did a great job at just picking everything up and being James Franklin. And he also had a great time. You know, when teams weren't as good as they were or have been. But he took that mentality at Vanderbilt and he turned it around. And part of the reason teams weren't as good is because Vanderbilt, you know, was not that same old Vanderbilt. And it's been a little bit harder. And I don't think when Derek walked in there, you know, the cupboard was necessarily just stocked. I think that was, you know, especially getting the kind of guys you wanted to get. But, no, I don't think he should be in trouble. But you know what? In today's world, you never say never. You know, and you will see. I think Derek's a good football coach, and that is a hard, hard job.
You've watched Tennessee in 4 or 5 games this year. Tennessee 2-3 right now. What have you seen from Tennessee that you think Tennessee needs to change, that they should have worked on during the bye week, and that we should see different on Saturday?
Well, they need to continue to get better, and they were better the last game in pass protection and giving the quarterback, you know, a chance to make some plays down the field. You know, and Jarrett's got to get better, you know, getting rid of the football and doing some things, you know. And again, this is all encompassing, case, as you well know. It's not just Jarrett. It's not just the protection. It's not just the receivers. They got to make more explosive plays, you know. And maybe it's the running back. You know, maybe Chandler's one of those guys who's capable of that. But this team is just not wired right now to be able to line up and knock people in the mouth and go on a long drive. So you better be able to hit some explosive plays. And that goes, you know, there's a lot of responsibility to go around there. You know, receivers getting open, separating, quarterback, you know, hitting them, finding them, you know, standing there and making those throws, and the quarterback and the guys up front, you know, giving them protection. I think that's, you know, what helped as much as anything. And I think that's probably been an emphasis. Then. But, you know, you also don't do that overnight. You know, you got to sort of recruit to that. Good guys. They're more explosive. You know, defensively, just been a little bit more consistent, you know, and cleaning stuff up. I like the way this team has continued to fight, continued to compete. You saw that in the second half of Georgia. And now I think we find out after a bye week if they can build off that second half. And this is when, you know, teams with chemistry
and well-coached football teams and teams that really have really 100% have bought in, especially in the transition year, the second half of the season. This is when you start to see them take off a little bit and get better. You start to see these things play out on the field. Tennessee's got some games coming up. Not obviously not Alabama in 2 weeks, but they've got some games, this one and some games after that coming up, where if they continue to grow and play well and play clean football, that's the other thing, Jason, is to be smart with the football, you know, and not give teams things. This team is not nearly talented enough or good enough to give teams short field, like a fumbling kickoffs and making stupid turnovers. So that's the other area. But I think they've got some games coming up where if they do some of these things and do grow and they truly have bought in, they got a chance to win a few games.
Who are the other top teams in the country, Chris? You know, we're starting to approach the time when you maybe look ahead and start talking about college football playoff a little bit. Alabama obviously looks like they're in a good spot, as well as Ohio State after Penn State just completely whiffed on that play call to beat them late in the game. But, you know, you have Notre Dame out there. You have Clemson out there. I mean, I know it is just October, actually October the 10th, but the four best teams right now, if the college football playoff started today, in your opinion?
Bama 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia 3, Clemson 4, Notre Dame 5. Mm. But now, those are the best teams. I don't know that they'll necessarily be the four best that get in. I mean, it's going to be hard for – put it this way, Notre Dame stays unbeaten, they're gonna claim a spot in the playoff. I was at their game Saturday and talked to a couple guys on the staff there at Notre Dame. It's a good team, and they're solid in a lot of different areas, but I don't think they're great in any one area. It's a different team with the in-book at quarterback. They've been more explosive in getting Dexter Williams back at running back. They've made some big plays, and they're pretty good on defense. But they're not a great. They're not in a Notre Dame. Excuse me, in Alabama's class. They're not in Ohio State's class. But I think there's a decent chance that they'll win the rest of their games. They still got to play at USC, and they have typically lost a game in the last few years late that you didn't see them lose. So maybe they do stumble. But unbeaten, they get in. If they do lose, if Notre Dame does lose, then I think that really opens the door for two SEC teams to get in, especially if it's Georgia and Alabama, and they both went out and played a really, you know, competitive game in the SEC championship game. I can see both of them getting in again. So you can see that, those two, Ohio State. And I guess at that point, maybe probably Clemson. Because Clemson hasn't played great, but no. Do you think they're going to lose? I don't think they're going to lose.
No.
I don't think anybody's going to beat them.
No, I don't either.
But remember, they've lost each of the last 2 years, the team that nobody saw losing to. You know, they lost to Pitt 2 years ago, they lost to Tennessee last year.
Chris, I guess on the way out here, because we are up against it, you know, you mentioned earlier in the show or during this conversation that Coach Forman had reached out to Gus Malzahn, and – you know, Coach Former was hired looking at, you know, you wrote an article there December the 2nd. Gus Malzahn signed that extension, like, you know, it looks like the 2nd or the 3rd of December. So that means Coach Former really made some fast moves as soon as he knew he was going to be the AD here at Tennessee. Wow. Like, he moved fast calling
Gus
Malzahn.
Well, he talked to a lot of established coaches. The last he talked to reached out, inquired, Gary Patterson, Justin Fuente, Gus Malzahn, Cutcliffe. There were several coaches, you know, that he – and I think any good AD would do that. Hey, now, there's a new sheriff in town now. Would you be interested? You know, I'd like to talk to you if you're interested. And at that point, you know, none of those guys were ready to pull the trigger. Yeah. And I understand why. I mean, a lot of those guys are in good situations, had some leverage. But no, he did. He reached out to several. Those are, and I'm sure there's probably a couple more that I don't even know about. Just like several years ago when they hired, Butch, you know, Dave Hart went after Mark Richt, and A lot of people didn't know that, but he did. When Mark was at Georgia.
Woo! I mean, at least you got to try, right? Shoot your shot, right?
Yeah, so I think that's what Coach Sloan was doing. Hey, or, you know, listen, I'm running the show now. I'm in charge. I'm a football guy. I know what it takes to win. So, yeah, he did talk to several people, or, again, inquired, reached out. I'm not saying he interviewed all those people, but at least did. Take a shot.
Gotcha. No, gotcha. Gotcha 100%. I know you're not going to pick Tennessee this weekend, right?
The last time I picked Tennessee, they turned the football over 6 times. And
pick Auburn,
you ran up a bill, I think it was upwards of $800 or $900 on my credit card at Dead End Barbecue.
Correct.
So, no. I think Auburn will come in and be pretty nasty. Even though I don't think the environment will be great, but I think they'll be pretty nasty, pretty ornery. I just don't think Tennessee can move the ball in that defense. You know, they still got 3 to 5 guys in that front seven. They're going to play in the pros. Auburn does. And that doesn't just go away just because your offense is speaking up. So that's the reason. I don't think Tennessee will be able to score enough to win that game unless Auburn helps them. And if that put it this way, Jason, if Auburn helps them and Tennessee hangs around, and that place is a morgue in the second half. Tennessee's got a shot, but I just think well, it's too good, and they'll win it.
If Tennessee wins this game, imagine the chaos on the plains in Auburn. I mean, and they just signed Gus Malzahn to a 7-year extension.
$49 million.
Yeah,
$49 million. But they can't. I mean, they can't fire
it. Oh, I know. But just imagine the chaos. I mean.
Well, there's going to be an exodus on that staff. He's going to make a bunch of moves after the season. But now, I don't know if that's going to satisfy everybody at Auburn. And we'll see what happens the rest of the way. Remember last year they were sort of wobbling and finished the season pretty strong. You know, and they still got some chances to do that. We'll see. It will not be a pretty year, right? If they lose this game and just finish this season with a whimper, it will not be fun and games on the plane.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see, man. We'll see this weekend what changes Tennessee made, what adjustments they made, how they got better during the bye week, and how Auburn is coming off a very disappointing game against Mississippi State. And then you have all the things coming out from Brandon Marcello of 247 talking about the dissension in the locker room and the dynamic with Chip Lindsey and Gus Malzahn. We'll see what happens. We'll know Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time.
Well, Jason, I hope you get up early on Saturday. Get your breakfast in, get your workout in, and be ready to go.
Well, I will be, man, at least for the first half. I'll be ready to rock and roll. So,
great news, too. I mean, sounds like the kid at Tennessee State, Abercrombie, is showing some signs. And I know a lot of people have been praying and thinking about that kid, the kid at Tennessee State who collapsed. And I just wanted to remind people out there that when you hit your knees, continue praying for that kid.
That's right, man.
Proud some stuff yesterday that he had improved, and that's great to hear. So.
That's right. That's right. 100%. CeeLo, thanks so much for your time this morning, man. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Take care. See you guys.
Hey, thank you. Chris Lowe's time here is brought to you by Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, where they specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So they treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including rotator cuff knee instability, elbow, and foot problems by injecting with stem cells, that is PRP. This form of treatment is performed under ultrasound guidance, and by doing so, it stimulates the own reparative process by the body and allows healing of damaged tissue. That is trsportsmedicine.com. Non-surgical orthopedics. You don't need to be cut on to have relief, to heal, to feel 100% again. Call up Dr. Carlson there at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. Thank you to Chris Lowe for joining us this morning. Again, knee instability, elbow and foot problems, and rotator cuff surgery injuries, you can get that taken care of there at trsportsmedicine.com. We'll take a quick timeout. We have For What coming up next. Ben McKee, Charlie Burris, Jason Swain here with you. 850 AM, 100.9 FM. Rocky Top Sports. Stay with us.
For what is coming up on the Swain event.
There is a 30% chance of showers today, mostly cloudy with a high of 84 and a low around 69. A 90% chance of rain tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high around 74 and a low near 48. The sunshine returns on Friday with a high in the upper 60s. Weather on the Swain event is brought to you by Be Dry. If your basement is wet or cracked, Be Dry can help. BeDry.com. Do you have cracks in your foundation? A wet basement or a nasty, leaky crawl space? Our listeners have heard about them on the Swain event for over a year, and now it's time to make the call. Give Be Dry Waterproofing and Foundation Repair the opportunity to fix your home's problem. Since 1958, that's right, nearly 60 years, Be Dry has been solving basement, crawl space, and foundation problems throughout the country. Be Dry only uses high-quality materials from reputable manufacturers. They back their installations with some of the best warranties in the industry to provide homeowners with added peace of mind. They are truly an A-plus company. Whenever you start experiencing a wet basement, leaky crawl space, or a cracked foundation, remember these three words. Better call Be Dry. Reach out to Be Dry today at 865-662-5238 to schedule your free appointment. That's 865-662-5238. Remember, better call Be Dry.
Do you want a custom-themed tumbler or bottle to show off your team spirit every day of the week? Well, look no further than Game Time Sidekicks. Every design has you, the fan, in mind. Their tumblers and bottles are double-walled, vacuum-insulated stainless steel, and their quality is second to none in the market. From stainless steel sippy cups to tumblers and sports bottles, Game Time Sidekicks offers something for the fan of all ages to rep their team with. They have many different logo options, so fans will have something they are proud to carry around all the time. Use promo code SWAIN at checkout to get 20% off of your entire purchase at GameTimeSidekicks.com. They also offer $5 flat rate shipping. Be sure to check out the Game Time Workshop on the website and customize your tumbler to make it one of a kind with things like your nickname, number, or initials. Game Time Sidekicks. Show your colors and carry your team.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Insipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's. Or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Dan Mullen posing awkwardly with recruits.
For what?
Gators working out wearing costumes.
For what?
Vanderbilt making a sorority-style video.
For what?
Aaron Murray and David Pollock opening their mouths.
For what?
In Chesapeake, Virginia, several towns in eastern Virginia take their trick-or-treating very seriously. In fact, if you are over the age of 12, you could land in jail if you are out asking for candy on Halloween night. According to Chesapeake, Virginia City Code, any person over the age of 12 who engages in trick or treat is guilty of a misdemeanor and shall be punished by a fine of not less than $25, nor more than $100, or by confinement in jail for not more than 6 months or both.
So two very different things, $25 or 6 months in jail.
However, this is not isolated to just Chesapeake. According to a 2017 article, Hampton, Newport News, Norfolk and other cities in the area have similar laws. So with Halloween around the corner, the question is, just how old is too old for trick or treat? So my for what goes, I'm sorry, to these rules, these laws. If someone who's 12 years old wants to trick or treat, then let them.
But if you're over the age of 16, I'm for this.
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, you are too old.
No.
Go to your Halloween party. If you are old enough to like your option is either trick or treat or go to your office Halloween party, you're too old.
How many 16-year-olds are really going to trick or treat when you can drive and you can go on dates, you can do other things? You kind of grow out of it on
exactly.
your own. If you are doing this, you're just a different kid.
I want to say the last time I trick or treated was maybe like 15.
Now, what happens when the boss does not throw a Halloween party, and what happens when your significant other does not live in the same town as you, and you can't go on a date with them?
You stay home.
Grow up.
But it's free candy.
You stay home.
Go
and watch the Halloween movies.
Buy candy.
Free.
You're grown.
Free candy.
Yeah, but you can go to the store and buy the candy that you like, and a lot of it, instead of going knocking on people's doors and getting candy that most of you don't even want. Ben, are you talking about a guy that you know?
No.
Oh, you're talking about yourself?
I haven't been trick-or-treating. I'm joking. I haven't been trick-or-treating since I was, I don't even know, 12, 13.
This is a silly law. There's other things you should be trying to police. There's other things that's more important than worrying about if a 12-year-old is trying to get candy. It happens once a year. Once a year.
I'm with Charlie. 15, 16, that's a cutoff.
Yeah, get out.
It's a cutoff, but enough to make a law about it?
I have actually, I remember one Halloween for some reason. I was at my parents' house on the actual Halloween night when kids were trick-or-treating. And they live in a neighborhood, and some, I don't know, like 18-year-olds or something came up, and I was like giving the candy out, and I was like, no. You ain't getting any of this. Get off this porch. Nope. I'm not giving out free.
That's fine.
Go, but you got a job. You got a job to go buy your own candy. Your own candy.
You don't have to be a butthole, though.
I'm cool with Charlie there, but don't make a law about it. Hour 3 is coming up around the corner. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Stay with us.